Good evening, Tony. Doing well, thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, of course. Wanted everybody else to you know, have a chance to meet you if they haven't. So
great.
So Howard, your hair is getting long.
Yeah, I'm still trying to shock Richard.
Well, it's just because you have hair and I don't.
No, wait a minute. Let's not go talk about who has hair and who doesn't.
Okay, you win. You win.
So this is I haven't cut my hair since March. And this is the longest my hair has ever been because I refuse to go into public to get it cut.
Well, it looks good. It suits you well.
Well, I'm not used to waking up in the middle of the night with hair in my face.
It goes well with the basement, Howard.
I thank you. My hermit life. I told you, somebody called me Sam Elliott the other day. I said, leave me alone.
All right, we got 6:30. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4 board members. 1, 2, 3, 4 board members. So we are good. There's Kara. So we got 5 now. Got 5 board members. I'll give another minute, and then we'll get started. Just see if everybody gets logged in.
Hey, David, where are you that you're masked up? You're muted.
I am at a basketball game. We are playing Alpena tonight.
Nice.
All right. Give just a little bit longer, then we'll get started. All right, it's 6:31. I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. So we'll do a roll call. Tony Beardsley.
Howard Alstor.
Nate Fries.
Kara Riley.
Leslie Post.
All right.
Richard Burrows.
All right, we're all here. So Pledge of Allegiance, turn and face wherever you think a flag is, and we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Comments from the public. Do we have any comments from the public? I don't think so. Is that correct? No comments?
No comments.
All right. No comments. All right. So consent agenda. Has everybody had a chance to review the minutes from our last meeting in November? A chance to go over the financials? Any questions on the financials? Everybody good? Did the finance committee meet this month? Just curious.
Yes, we did.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about that here in just a second. Well, I tell you what, since we're not on the agenda, why don't you go ahead and tell us anything we might need to know about the financial meeting?
I think everything was in line with expectations. We did talk a little bit about where we were from an audit standpoint and doing our yearly presentation to the public, and Richard's probably going to talk a little bit about that when he talks, but overall financials are in good shape.
All right. All right. Everybody get a chance to review the enrollment report. Yep. All right. If we're good and there's no questions or comments on the consent agenda, I will entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda as is.
So moved.
We've got a first. We need a second.
Second.
Got a first and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Ayes have it, motion passed. All right, so now we're gonna move on to the district reports. And first up is the fine gentleman, Mr. Burrows. Richard.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me know that I'm a fine gentleman. So, district and building staff and I met this morning, which is our usual planning and preparation for the board meeting. I have encouraged them to limit their comments to under 5 minutes, and some of them said, could we talk for 30 seconds? So I'll try and model the activity by keeping it as brief as possible. What's important about district report is that I think it reveals really significantly the effort that we're taking in terms of teaching and learning, that you have a sense of reports from the daily, weekly, and monthly activities that we're engaged in. The only thing I really have at this particular point that is a CEO or superintendent conversation is really about the annual report that Howard referred to, which was part of our discussion in the finance committee. I promised to do some research on what has happened before and what really is the expectation. As I shared with finance committee, the annual report that was produced for 2019 by the previous superintendent was 53 pages long. I think it's a little long, and I want to create a document that actually allows people to see the work of the academy in a good and swift way. In two cases, I sent an email to Ken Rich at APSRC, and I asked for his counsel on what were the actual expectations of an annual report, given that we're really only partway through our own school year, and would the annual report be reporting on the last school year, which I was not a participant in? And his recommendations were, which I concur with, are that yes, it's about last year. We want to be able to report important information like new policies, staffing reports, enrollment reports, facilities, previous year's test scores, goals for the coming year, and then eventually scheduling a meeting with the board of directors and the public for questions and comments on that particular effort. I'm grateful to Bonnie Colville, who sent along an example of the Pea Ridge School District's annual report, and it absolutely follows along what I would want to be able to develop. So before we take a holiday break, I hope to have that information together, and we'll send it off to the board for its review. And I think that any time after January 1st, we're eligible to schedule a meeting to invite the public to make comment and to make a presentation. So that's really only comments that I have from the district point of view. I know that both principals will talk briefly about the arts integration activities, since Aaron Jones is at a city council meeting elsewhere and can't join us. And when we get to the presentation about COVID updates, I'm happy to do that. So that's the superintendent's comments. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anybody have any questions for Richard? All good. All right, well then we're gonna move on to child nutrition report with Miss Debbie that just joined.
Well, I can't find any of my notes. It's been interesting this evening. we completed our cycle 4 report last week and submitted it early. It covers lots of different things, but mostly the addition this month was special education and all the records and teachers to make sure they're all coded correctly. As far as child nutrition, it's going really well. This month, we received the state matching funds that we get once a year, was about $2,200. And we also received the COVID money, which was about $7,200. And we ended the month with a balance of about 10,000 and change. I don't have it in front of me, I'm sorry. We did start our expand our virtual student meals to include more students that are at risk for weekend meals. Last Friday, we distributed 72 packages of weekend meals at the elementary campus. They're expanding that to 125 this Friday. So we're not only reaching the virtual students, we are now reaching at-risk students and other families that I have an interest. So that will raise our servings per month, which means our reimbursement will be higher, which is always good news. That's all I remember from my notes. So I think
I might add on Debbie's behalf that we did a quick analysis during the finance committee of actual current enrollments which relate to child nutrition, mm-hmm. and we're every day is different. So you can always say this is the number for today, but it might be different tomorrow. Is 1,180 is our current enrollment in the district. And as principals will share, there's been some students and families who have withdrawn for reasons that are of their own volition, but that we are increasing enrollment as a reflection backwards of that. So I think we're in a very good position given that many school districts throughout mm-hmm. the state and particularly Northwest Arkansas are experiencing a drop in enrollment because folks are looking for other opportunities. I don't know that there are better, but they're just looking for different right. opportunities. So mm-hmm. is that the correct number, Debbie, that we were
It pulling? Is. That was okay. our enrollment as of the 4th of December. That's when I pulled it.
Okay, thank you.
We're anticipating some enrollees after the first of the year.
That makes sense.
At semester. Mm-hmm. There's always a little bit of movement over the Christmas break.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Debbie. Appreciate it. I guess it's going to come back to you, Richard, for the COVID status.
Yes. So we've had this particular challenge in the last 10 days, 14 days, in that both of our school nurses have been sent home by themselves because of COVID positive tests or close contacts. And so they've been staying at home and they have both been symptomatic and getting better, but we've tried to keep them on track for keeping themselves safe and ready to come back on the 14th, which is Monday. You know, one of the really important challenges, and Terry Harrell will talk about this afterwards is really that the effort to try and find substitute nurses is probably one of the biggest challenges, not only for us, but for every school district in Northwest Arkansas, as well as the state. And while I have made entrees to the city mayor of Rogers and to the fire chief to try and get paramedics to provide us some kind of relief, since that's the program they do offer, they really admitted that they were so tapped out because it's really, nurses are really hitting the front line of this particular exposure. Victor Craig, who's our technology director, is working with Katie Milligan to create a new dashboard for Arkansas Arts Academy for COVID updates so that when you go into our website, you see a very dynamic and regularly updated status of who's gone and on quarantine, who's positive, who's coming back. It really helps parents and community to see that we're doing a pretty great job here at Arkansas Arts Academy because our infection rate is less than 5%. And if you look at the statistics for both Bentonville and Rogers School Districts, those are almost at nearly 15%. So we've made a very conservative view on this work, and we're I think, doing the right thing. Principals, administrative staff, and I had a very long conversation today about creating a document before a break occurs to prepare parents and the community for what our strategies are after New Year's. And so we're crafting that document now, and I'll be happy to share that with the board before mm-hmm. we publish that. So that's the COVID report.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Mr. Young, elementary school update, sir.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
We can.
All right. First of all, we do want to introduce that we have some new staff members at our site. We have our Latoya Gully. She is now serving as our special education and resource teacher. A great hire and someone that has a background in the arts, actually worked in the act as an actress in Los Angeles for 7 to 8 years. And we also brought on Alice Albright as our fifth grade teacher. Alice is an A-plus fellow, and she has actually trained our staff before with Arkansas A-plus. So we look forward to her leadership with arts integration in the classroom. As speaking of arts integration, Mr. Jones has done a great job working with our staff, even during this time, to continue the relationship with Crystal Bridges and my museum and me. We have, Mr. Jones has created ways to bring the museum to our campus, and our students are getting to experience it still in a virtual format. So we appreciate the work he's done with fourth grade and sixth grade at that. And as far as iReady testing, that is a testing we do 3 times a year. We are in the process of doing our third through sixth graders right now. And kindergarten through second grade will be in January. The state is paying for that this year, so we have good data points because of COVID. For the kindergarten through second grade is the required test that we give them. We also have, you know, more students willing to come back on campus. So right now it's just working to navigate how to, for them to stay safe and to keep our distance and to come up with the best procedures. As Mr. Burroughs mentioned earlier, we'll be working next week, the high school and the elementary campus and Mr. Burroughs, just to figure out what we can do as far as best practice. We have definitely seen that our students need to be in school and in class is the best benefit for them. And when we look nationally at the research, the emotional health of our young people is suffering when we have to shut down. So we want to come up with plans to keep our school and students engaged in being at school so we can do the best for our children. Any questions for me?
Sounds like you've got things under control, Mr. Young.
We try, Mr. Beardsley.
All right. Ms. Wright.
All right. We want to start with celebrations this year, or this month. We had 75 individual nominations for Teacher of the Month, which is the most we've ever got. So there was a lot of positive feedback for our teachers this year. Ultimately, Jordan Haynes was our selection for Teacher of the Month. As a first-year theater teacher, he's doing some really amazing things in his classroom and with his students. And that virtual Christmas Carol production, which he has assured me will make Charles Dickens turn over in his grave multiple times, will be ready for release soon. So I think it's going to be a pretty creative process. Our students of the month for December are Kaylin Kirkland as our 7th and 8th grade representative, Will Beveridge as our 9th and 10th grade representative, and Madison Lastavica for our 11th and 12th grade representative. We have a lot of amazing kids every day who are coming in working hard and spreading positivity, and that's just a small selection of all the kids that were nominated. We also want to congratulate Simon Sallings, who is a 7th grader. He earned first chair for percussion for the junior high jazz band at All Region. So he's got, I mean, that's a really young kid. He's very talented and he's got a great future ahead of him under his dad's tuition in jazz band. We held our postponed National Honor Society induction last night. The setting was altered and the celebration was definitely muted from what it's been in the past. But we want to congratulate all of those students who work hard academically, they demonstrate good character, and they provide service to their community. It's definitely an honor to be inducted to NHS, and we were glad that we could make that happen, even if it was a little bit different this year. As far as trends at the high school, we're definitely seeing an increase in the number of students who want to be on campus and learning in person. I think as the semester is coming to a close, a lot of parents and a lot of students have hit a wall as far as like, they're just not able to support their student as well at home as we can support them in the building. So we've had a lot of students, especially special education 504 students, return to campus. And that, for me, that's a great thing because it gives us an opportunity to make sure that we can intervene early when they're struggling. We have the Arkansas Civics exam that will be posted for 11th and 12th grade students in their Google Classrooms, along with a study guide. That test is a graduation requirement for the state of Arkansas. It's untimed, students can take it multiple times, but it's one of those check marks that you have to do for the state. It's definitely not difficult. Opt-in forms for the ACT were going to be sent to all parents of juniors this Friday. Filling out the opt-in form and returning it to school means that the state can share the ACT data from their February on-site test with their schools and colleges. If we don't get that opt-in form back, they can still take the test, but their score won't be released to any colleges or universities. Our jazz band will be hosting a holiday concert on Saturday, December 12th on the outdoor stage at the K6 campus at 4 p.m. It's gonna be cold, but you should bundle up and go join them and listen. They're sounding really good. Finals for students in grades 9 through 12 will take place next week on December 17th and 18th. I emailed the exemption policy to all parents and students today. And then as we wrap up this semester, Mr. Jones and Ms. Winslow have been working with our students and teachers on several arts integration projects. We have Mr. Deering's freshman English classes making dioramas. The classes have completed reading Homer's epic, The Odyssey, and now they're creating a diorama that depicts a climactic moment from the tale from the perspective of a secondary character. So not one of the main characters, but someone who's off on the side. What are they seeing? Ms. Hannah's seventh grade classes are learning about chemical reactions, and they're learning about that process through the creation of bath bombs. So Ms. Winslow provided students with an investigation into ephemeral art and the work of Andy Goldsworthy, and they are going to be taking that information along with the scientific method and their understanding of chemical reactions to create bath bombs that incorporate natural ingredients. And then Mr. Myrick's physics class just finished up construction of catapults in their studies of projectile motion. Every category of catapult was created. So we had a trebuchet, a mangonel, and a ballista all working on campus. they were required to fire their catapult, and they filmed the motion. And by filming it and then using slow motion, we have a specific software from Vernier that allows us to actually track all the mathematical information that goes into that, the velocity, the acceleration, the force with which it hits, and it allows them to do a lot of really cool math. So there was a competition between the students and Mr. Myrick as to whose catapult would work best, and Myrick lost. So we have some students who beat him. That is my update. Do you have any questions for me?
I do. As we're getting more kids coming back to campus that were virtual, mm-hmm. are we able to handle that balance still to making sure we're not overloading one teacher or another?
So those students, all students are housed in those large study halls during the day. Mm-hmm. So right now they're at closer to 5 feet apart instead of 6 feet apart in order to fit them all in. In the classrooms, we're still maintaining that 6 foot distance. And the teachers are pulling, it's not increasing the load of what a teacher is pulling. It just okay. more of them are doing 45 minute sections, splitting their classes in half instead of pulling them for the full 90 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Are there any other questions for me?
Well, I just want to comment. Heather and Matt and I had a conversation with district staff today exactly about those strategies and stresses that are placed upon us and having students come back to classroom for whatever reason. And so we want to get a really good mousetrap in place so that we are all of us on the same page about what strategies we're using. And I think we'll come up with a pretty good solution by next week. I also want to say that Heather and I discussed the catapults being a project for next Halloween for pumpkin chucking, so that we can see just how far pumpkins can be catapulted across the property as well. So
I'm all for that. Yeah.
Stay tuned.
I have a question, Ms. Wright.
Yes,
first, a comment. I just, she wouldn't brag on herself, but I've seen firsthand how you've gone out of your way to figure out how to best serve our kids during this time and to be creative in dealing with issues as a whole, and I really appreciate it. With what you were talking about kids coming back to campus, along the lines of Mr. Burrow's question, are we still able to separate our seventh and eighth grade? Do you feel good? Do you feel like we're okay with separating our seventh and eighth and ninth through 12th effectively, with being such a large group of kids that you've got on your campus, such big age ranges?
Well, they are just as separated right now as they have been the entire year. So seventh, eighth graders are now in the commons instead of the PAC. We needed a little bit more space in the PAC we needed more space for our ninth and 10th graders, which is why we made that switch.
Mm-hmm.
The ninth and 10th graders are never in those same spaces as the holding areas. They have their core classes still happen separately, like the seventh and eighth grade core classes, except for those eighth graders that are on an accelerated track, happen in a completely different section of the building where high school kids should never be. During outdoor breaks, we still have, like, it's a 7-12 opportunity. There's an adult who's monitoring those outdoor breaks. The counselors and I have discussed potentially changing those so that there's a seventh and eighth grade outdoor break and a 9th through 12th grade outdoor break. And that's something that we're looking at probably after we come back. To be honest, no outdoor breaks happened today or yesterday, because I had meetings from 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock both days. So those are things that we're looking at changing for sure. But as far as them just mingling, other than the outdoor breaks, that doesn't happen.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have a question? All right, do we have our student council rep? I don't see him online. Okay, then we'll skip over that unless Ms. Wright had something to say for the student council.
I don't think so. I know they're working on some things for the spring semester. The junior high student council is actually going to implement a feel good. They're doing a principal on the shelf. So there are going to be two apps on the shelves that look like Rachel and I, and they're going to get hidden all over the building. And the goal is for the kids that are on campus to take a picture of them when they find them and post it to social media and tag the school and tag the principal on the shelf. So just something fun to lighten up the last 7 days of the school year for this semester.
That's great. That's
that great. They're focused on next semester for now.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mr. Jones, I guess that's going to be Mr. Burrows today. Going to wear several hats.
Well, actually, I think both Heather and Matt talked about Aaron's work in elementary and high school. So that report was sort of taken care of by them. So okay. Thank you.
All right. Special Ed.
Hello.
There you are.
Well, I would like to start out by saying how excited I am because our special ed department is really coming together. Our team has come together. We've got all of our positions covered, and that is very awesome at this time when we really need them. And like Debbie said, I was really excited to do my first cycle four reporting, and there were some errors on there, but I successfully cleared them off, and I was so excited for myself because I was like, I've never done it before. So I was like, yay. So we are about halfway through with our corrective action plan at this point. I've turned in most of my documentation that I have to submit. We've done one training for the SPED team, and we're on our second training coming up next week. So that will finish off those two requirements. So we will be able to knock that off of our list of things to do. Then the rest of it will be just submitting paperwork that are on the correct timelines that we're supposed to be following. That was a big ding that we got because nothing was being kept on the correct due process timelines. However, when I came in, there were probably 20 evaluations to do that were in bright red making me look really stressed out. And now about 15 of them are in teal, a happy color for me, because they're done and completed. And I'm so, so excited. And they're all in timelines and it's real pretty. So the staff, my special ed staff, has done above and beyond what they could be asked to do as far as getting this stuff done. And I am looking forward to starting the new year. We have a new evaluation team coming on that will be lessening the load. Stephanie Hicks, I'm sure you know, is quitting, and she was doing the IQ testing. And then Lori Gladden was filling in with the achievement testing. And now that will be taken off of Lori's plate, where she'll have a lot more time to do what she needs to do as far as teaching kids, making sure that they're being successful. And then Stephanie's role will be filled by this new team that we have found. And I feel very, very fortunate to have found them, because that's not an easy position to find at this time. They'll be doing all of our IQ testing and achievement testing, and they came to us at a very, very good rate, way better than any of the other places that I had looked at. So I'm pretty excited. And they have actually worked with us before a couple of times, she said, so she knows our campus. And in the place of Stephanie, we have hired a new speech pathologist, which I feel equally as excited about, because I know multiple schools around us are having to contract therapists at this time, about $95 an hour. And we were able to secure a therapist that had done a assistantship kind of thing with Stephanie in a couple of years ago. And she contacted Stephanie and said she was interested in coming back, and we interviewed her and she took the job. So I'm really excited about that. So we're not even going to skip a beat, you know, without missing a therapist on staff. And that's real good, real good right now. The most impressive thing that I've seen right now is the kids are struggling, and I can see it across both campuses. But man, our team and our teachers at AAA have just gone above and beyond to try to figure out, you know, good plans for these kids, adopting new plans, adjusting their plans. And I just feel very fortunate to work with them. They don't usually say no, and we just do whatever we can to get these kids the help that they need. And so I feel like we've had a really successful first semester, despite all of the yuck that we're having to live through right now. So yeah, I'm excited about our team.
All right. Sounds like things are going well. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Tony, I just want to say on Beth's behalf that what our projected plan was for corrective action is that the corrective action piece and catching up would be completed by December. And that after the first of the year, we would be working on timelines and keeping people on track. And so to Beth's credit, we've kept ourselves on the corrective action deadlines. So thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
We're absolutely on track, and we're in good shape. Thank you.
Good to hear.
Looks like it's up to athletics now.
Well, good evening. I'm here at the Palace on 12th Street, as it has become known. Alpena is in the gym. We're playing a conference game tonight. Was a change of schedule. Alpena's opponent for tonight had to cancel, and we had Haas Hall on the schedule, and they are putting a hold on athletics until after the first. So we were able to get Alpena to come over and play three games tonight. Basketball season is off to a great start. We had a great evening in Cotter, Arkansas. If you've never been there, that's almost a mountain home. If you're a trout fisherman, why, that's the place to go. Our senior boys were down 23 points and came back to within five at the end, and had the ball with and had a shot, but a great game, and the athletic director from Cotter came up to me after the game and said, what a wonderful job that our boys did by not giving up, by not just quitting. He said he was almost cheering for us at the end of the game just to because of the way that we fought back. So our basketball teams are off to a good start. Some of you may have received a newsletter from me about the sports program. We've had over 500 views. Just kind of a quick summary of what's going on. Cross country finished up with a great meet in Hot Springs. I talked to you about that at the last meeting. We're having a banquet Thursday of this week at 6 o'clock here in the gym, and we'll social distance tables. Families will sit at tables. So if you're looking for a dinner Thursday night, why come on out and we'll feed you spaghetti from Tuscan Trotter. It's a restaurant downtown. One of our parents is the owner. So just come on out. Archery is underway. Our teams have been chosen through a tryout, and Coach Green has them shooting every morning and then getting them off to first period. Looking at my notes, that's what I have. Right. Any questions?
I'm good. Anybody else have any questions? I think we're good. You can get back to the game now.
Thank you, guys. Have a good
Thank
evening.
You. All right, moving on the agenda, new business. We've got 2021-2022 school calendar.
So, Deb, why don't you take a first stab at that, and the principals can chime in, because you were the one who did most of the work on that.
Yes, we put together a proposed calendar for the next school year, and I hope you got the revised one this afternoon. We worked at the staff meeting this morning and ironed out some glitches, and I think we have a really smooth calendar that's going to work well next year. We've met all the state guidelines and fit in everything, which was a challenge.
So who all worked on the calendar, just out of curiosity? Who all was involved?
The principals and myself.
Okay. Ms. Wright, you have any comments about the calendar or...
No, it looks good. One of the revisions that we made from Debbie's original was to move the break in May up to right after the very last test that we give. So it's earlier in May. But we did that for two reasons. One, when it falls the week of Memorial Day in 2022, I think is May 30th or something like that. And if we do it that break, that pushes graduation the 10th of June, and those children need to be gone before then. So we moved it for that reason, but also when we place that break the week of Memorial, then there are only 10 days after the break for students to come back to. And what Matt and I have both found is that 2 weeks, just the 2 weeks, is too big of a temptation for families to just check out the last two weeks.
Yeah.
So moving in a little bit forward, and you have a whole month after that, make sure that we stay focused on instruction all the way through the end of the year.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah. So I guess what we need to do as a board is we need to approve the new calendar. So I will entertain a motion to approve the 2021-2022 school calendar as presented.
So moved.
Okay. It looks like I have a first and a second. Who was the second there?
I'll go second. All right. We'll let Kara be first. I'll go second.
All right. So is there? We've got a motion. Is there any further discussion? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Ayes have it. Motion passed. And it looks like I remember this. The minimum wage is going up in January. And I guess that's going to affect us around some of our substitutes. Is that correct?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey.
Yes, as of January the 1st of 2021, minimum wage is going up to $11 an hour. That does affect our substitute pool that we get from ESS, which is the Education Staffing Solutions. A lot of people know it as Subteach. That's who we contract with. So the current rate that we pay for right now, regular sub is 80, the bachelor's degree is 85, an Arkansas certified teacher is 100. The LPN nurse right now, we pay $85 a day. An RN nurse sub would be $100 a day. And the required rate now is if we go with the required, it would be $88 across the board to raise it to that $11. The competitive rate I've got down there, $90 for the regular sub, the bachelor's 95, and Arkansas certified 110, LPN 95, and RN nurse 110, which if we go with that, it'll be about 11% increase. Now, I did contact because the members last night asked that we look at other schools in the district. So I contacted the schools, and I think they were more concerned about our RN rates. So I contact Bentonville. Bentonville pays $160 a day for an RN. They will not, they don't do LPNs. They just do strictly RNs. P Ridge, they do their own subs. So they don't contract out their subs. They just do their own. That's what I found with them. As far as teacher rates, we're across the board competitive with the schools. It's the RN rate that we're not. And I talked to Bonnie today. We have not had to get an RN sub since we've had Miss Katie and Mary Bell on staff. And Miss Katie's been with us. Well, Miss Mary Bell's been the first one with us since 2014. So we've never had the experience of trying to get a LPN or an RN sub until just recently, when we had the misfortune of having them both gone at the same time. But anyway, that's what I found out. Bonnie and I did look at it. And like I said, if we go with the competitive rates, it's going to be about 11% increase. And so we did look at too, from the previous years, what we did pay in our subs. This year, we are down in paying our subs, and that's because we were shut down in March of last year, and so we've not had to pay ESS for subs until this year. So we are right now for year to date, we're tracking about $7,500 that we have paid in sub fees for this year.
And what was that, say, to a previous year, normal year? Do we know what it would have been like in 2016, something like that?
She pulled it. Let me find it here. I've got it. So in 1920 school year, we paid $55,154 in 1920. And the year before that, 1819, we paid, it was high. It was like 85,000, something like that. Okay. And I think that year when I talked to Bonnie that it was at its highest, we had a lot of teachers that left us, and the principals might be able to remember more than I that year. But we had like, I believe Rich and I figured it was about 30 teachers that we had to cover for in our substitute pool. And I think that's what that was.
I think what Terry is referring to is this march to the cliffside every 3 years or so, where new and young teachers come into the district, gain some experience, find out that they can have higher paying jobs elsewhere, and then rather immediately are hired by other districts. So as we're continuing to work through that process, I'm happy to say that APSRC and the legislative committees are looking very carefully at opportunities through the Arkansas Department of Education in terms of salary equity so that we can build a greater pool of people who stay here longer. So that's why those costs were so much higher in that time period.
Yeah.
So we have, what we need to do is adjust the rate is basically what I'm hearing. And Richard, do you have a recommendation? Do we do the 11% increase across the board? Do we, you know, how do we remain competitive yet don't put ourselves in a financial bind?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things to think about here. And I just need to remember to say, Jeff, I need to ask you a question about the RNs here before I leave. Is that we have a requirement of the minimum wage, which is sort of the middle range. And I think we can certainly say that the board accepts that as the minimum expectation from the state, and we should move forward with that. The reason to have competitive rates is if we move outside staff solutions, ESS opportunities, and have to try and find teachers sort of independently of a contract service. And so the higher the rate that we can offer, the more likely we are to be able to meet the needs of our schools and absent teachers. And so part of the challenge here is that we don't know after these holiday seasons how many people are going to contract the virus. We don't know what next year's situation looks like. And so the effort here is to stay as competitive as possible when we do have to find substitutes, because in a situation of a school district with 1,200 students, that when any number of teachers are gone, it affects us much more deeply than school districts with 20,000 students. And so we need to be able to move more swiftly, and a higher rate would be able to provide us that opportunity. So it's really, that's one discussion. And the other is for Jeff Honeycutt, because you were the one who brought up the question about RNs, is do you think that we should be offering a sub rate for RNs that is, what did you say, Terry, 160? That was what other school districts were offering?
Bentonville is at 160. Gravett does 90, an RN. Rogers, they have their own subs in, or I'm sorry, P. Ridge has their own in-house. Rogers, ESS didn't provide nurses for Rogers. They do their own, I believe.
So I think the situation for RNs is that those who are substitutes for registered nurses fall into the older category or retired, and mm-hmm. many of them are not particularly interested in coming back into school situations, which might have high risk factors for their particular experience. So Jeff, do you have a recommendation for what might be a good rate that we should include?
Sure. So nurses have become in high demand and in short supply across a variety of medical settings. And what I'm looking at, what's our current rate again we're paying them? Is it $90 a day?
It's $100 a day right now, right, Jeff.
So it's essentially what, $15 an hour at $100 a day? Versus, I know the $160 rate that you mentioned, that's closer to $21 an hour, which is a little more competitive. Your average RN, it's going to vary from specialty to specialty, but you know, for a full-time job, $25 an hour is a reasonable starting salary for the most part. And it can go well in excess of that, depending on their tenure and such. And in a time when they're in such demand, it's going to be tough to pull in a nurse in a pinch hitter type situation at $15 an hour. So I think that we should entertain at least that $160 a day rate to get up above 20, if we're going to be competitive in a marketplace that where nurses are being pulled left and right.
Yeah. It's either that, or we say that it's the going rate. In our particular situation with both nurses out, we really don't have a good cover. We're doing our best to make sure that everything is taken care of, but these are high need positions. And so I would say either it's the rate that Terry has quoted, or we say whatever the market rate is to get a nurse in for the period of time that we're looking for.
And personally, my thought in a situation like this, a nurse, I don't think a nurse has ever been more valuable to the school than they are right now.
Yeah.
Right.
And especially when you're talking about a situation where you're trying to get somebody in on a temporary basis. I think it's worth going above and beyond to get somebody in times like this.
And just so you know, we filed our COVID claim today with the ADE, and our COVID claim reached about $52,000 that we should be seeing coming back. That will be used for our sub pool.
Yeah. And we'll see if that funding continues after this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it sounds like to me we may need to do two things here. One separately for the nurse positions at the higher rate. I mean, that's what I listened to what Jeff says. And yeah, I think, you know, like he said, there's no other position right now that's more important. And I think that we should pay what's required to get the RNs in. So if that's 160, then I think that's what we should go with. Now, we've all got, you know, to voice our opinions here, because that's what I'm leaning towards. Howard, Dr. Riley, Ms. Jackson, what are y'all thinking?
I think you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about this at the Finance Committee last night, and I agree with what Jeff was saying.
Okay. Then I would say that we'll do the 160. We'll have to, of course, pass a motion for that. But the other, I'm just saying we go with the required increase, I guess, is what we have to do. That sound logical? Sound what we need to do, guys? All right, so I'll entertain a motion. We'll do it two different ways. I'll entertain a motion for the RN position to be hired in at 160 a day for the substitute. So I'll take a motion for that.
So moved.
In a second?
Second.
Okay.
All right, got a first and a second. So any other further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Ayes have it, motion passed. And then we will just take for the other substitute positions, the required increase to get us to meet the minimum salary.
So if you do the required, I'm sorry, but if you do the required, then you're only talking about the regular sub and the LPN nurse. Those are the only two that it's going to affect, because the Arkansas certified were at 100 anyway. So.
Okay.
And then the bachelor's, well, it would affect the bachelor's as well to go up to 88. Is that what, am I understanding that you're going with the required?
I believe rate? That's what with that we need to do at this point. We may need to revisit this at a later date, but finance guys, y'all talked about this. Did y'all talk about the minimum wage yesterday?
Yes, sir.
What's the recommendation from you guys?
If I remember what Terry said, and Terry can repeat it again, from a substitute teacher salary standpoint, we're only talking about like a dollar more an hour.
Yeah, $8.
$8 a day.
Oh, I mean so. An hour. Yes, you're right. A dollar an hour. $8 a day.
Right. So yes. I really can't see how that's going to be significant enough. And it should be enough. Well, I shouldn't say it'll be enough, but we need to be as competitive as we can be to get substitutes.
Okay. So that is doing the increase that's required is the $8 a day, correct?
Right.
Okay.
On those on those ones that we were down.
Right.
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 Like the Arkansas certified teacher, we're paying 100 $8 a day. So we're over minimum wage.
We're good on we're good on that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I will take a motion then to increase the daily rate to require to meet the minimum wage across the board on all the other positions, substitute positions. So I'll take a motion for that.
So moved.
I got to need a second. Did I get a second?
Second.
Okay. Got a first and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Ayes have it. Motion passed. All right.
Made it through. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. School status.
Sure. This is not a long report. I did provide some information for the board that was just a kind of an overview. Heather brought forward to us a program called School Status. It has some really interesting opportunities for the district. It relieves a great deal of the ongoing paperwork of just about every person in the district, because it provides things like tracking information, keeps a record of all the contacts that the school has made with parents, when they reply, gives us a sense of whether the students are on task, if they're failing, gives us early warning systems. It shows if the work that we're doing in class is having its impact with students. And so school status not only provides us with these really customized reports for individual students or for cohorts of students, but it also allows us to do the kind of mass communications across the entire spectrum of K-12 students and parents as well. It costs about, with the mass communication effort, it costs about $12,000 a year. The contract is for 3 years. And we, I think after a long period of discussion with principals, with the technology people, this brings together a number of things that we've pieced together in different ways in the district. And so what I'm really suggesting is that I would ask for approval, because it's a significant commitment, not just financially, but just in terms of effort, because it will require training, is for us to sort of move into the 22nd century of tracking our students so that we can actually do the better job for them. So it's really a report and just a request to be able to move forward.
I did a little bit of research when I saw the attachment, went out and looked at it. It looks like a good application to me. Have we talked to any other schools that have used it? Have we looked at any references, any of that?
Yes, I actually called Greenland and Omaha. They both had participated, and these are school districts about our same size. They seemed foursquare in support of the activities. In fact, one of them added the communications network that we're interested in, and they found it to be particularly helpful. So I think it's probably a really good situation for a small district like ours, in that it really makes it feel like we have 10 more staff doing the work when we don't have 10 more staff to do that work.
Anybody else have any questions?
Heather, did you have anything else you'd like to contribute to that? Because you brought that forward. She still
has? I did. I just liked, one of the things that I really struggle with is knowing when a teacher has communicated with parents and students about things that are going forward. And so this allows all of us as district administrators, so Matt, myself, and Richard, to see at a teacher level, like, or at a student level, how many contacts have been made to that student, by whom, in what format. So is it not just emails that went to the whole class, but were there personal emails sent, were there text messages, were there phone calls made? And it gives the teachers the documentation for that as well. It also does some really neat tracking as far as attendance. So like if a kid has missed 15 days, well, that's a lot of days, but I can also go in and look at and see, okay, that kid has a hard time getting to school on Mondays. So that changes the conversation that we have with a family, and allows us to really dive deep into data that's very specific, that's hard to pull out of eSchool. So it collates all of that for us and makes it in a much more user-friendly way and allows for a lot more accountability between us and the parent to support students.
If I may add one thing, this is Victor on technology. One feature that is very good that I think the teachers will like is the ability to contact students through an app that basically keeps from having them to share their personal cell phones, but it also allows them to call them and be able to contact parents easily and effectively, but securely.
As far as state reporting, it's very friendly in pulling data for, especially when I go into the civil rights questionnaire, which requires a lot about poverty and advanced placement classes. So it has a lot of components that will help me in completing those reports.
Well, it sounds like a tool we can really use. All right. Any board members have any other questions, comments? Well, Richard is recommending that we purchase this. I'm going to move forward, ask for a motion to purchase the school status software for $12,000 a year. Is that correct?
Yep, for 3 years.
$12,000 a year for 3-year contract. So I'll entertain that motion.
Can I jump in here quickly?
Sure.
I just had one question. I think this all sounds great, and I'm 100% in favor of any way to get, you know, better KPI information and instead of pulling data from various sources and saving time. So fully supportive of digitization in any capacity. I did have one question. We talked about accountability, and is that specifically for teachers? Are we looking at this also? I just want to think more broadly. Is this something that parents are going to be able to use? We talk about an app. Is this just for the school district and teachers?
So it does allow, what the app does is create a false phone number for parents to use or for teachers to provide for parents and students, so you can have that two-way communication without either through text or through phone calls as well as through email without giving out personal cell phone information or tying a teacher to their desk in the building making those phone calls. So so it allows for greater communication, but for me it was more making sure that communication is happening between the teacher and the parent. I tell my teachers all the time that grades shouldn't be surprises, but it's hard for me to know that we're doing that communication, and this tool eliminates that for me.
Mm-hmm. So do the parents have any way of looking at the data? Is it all just within the district? Not that I'd want them to, I just ask you that question.
I don't know. I mean, I would be happy to print those reports. I think that's a question for Victor. It's not something that I've thought about.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious if, you know, if a parent had, I want a list of all the communications that have happened, you know, be able to get that. That's I think is what I was thinking of.
Just looking at the website and such, I haven't seen anything directly like that, but I'm hoping to get into this a little bit deeper to see. I mean, I think we may have, like Heather mentioned, of good opportunity to get reports and such to parents, you know, so it may be a pull thing we pull and give, but
right.
It has some very powerful reporting capabilities.
I just think there's going to be parents out there that are going to want more real-time visibility to what their children are doing for those parents that stay on top of it.
Yeah.
I think Howard has described something as well as Adrian about, any reports that we can see would be reports that we could provide to parents so that we're all clear together that this is the number and amount and kinds of conversations that have been shared between families and the school district, because you might lose sight of that. You might, as a parent, go, I don't recall getting a text. I don't remember getting that information, but here's a record of those actual experiences and what the content and the purpose of those conversations were about. It keeps the district honest, but it also reminds parents who might be diverted by lots of different things that are going on, here is the effort that the district made on behalf of your child.
I have one more question about this. I see that the data analytics, and that's interesting to me, and I'm wondering if it has that capability. I don't know, Victor, if you could answer this, to look at like our
Adrian, you muted yourself.
Got muted, Adrian.
I touched the space bar. Thanks, guys. I was just saying, I heard Debbie talk about the civil rights questionnaire and pulling that data. And I'm just wondering if there's a way that we can sort of look at that and look at accountability. I don't even know if you can use it for training and development for your staff, but I just had questions about that.
Yeah.
The civil rights questionnaire I mentioned is it's a 1,500 questionnaire that for the USDA and the civil rights department of that function, and they ask a multitude of questions about how many students take AP English and what the their minority status is and ethnicity and different things like that if they're in the poverty range, and I have to provide all that data to them. That's it's not really for training in civil rights. It's more of data collection.
Adrian, to answer your question, we can look at like discipline referrals by race, gender, socioeconomic status. We can look at their grades, at their attendance, at the number of communications made. So yes, we can pull all of that data and definitely use it to have conversations about where we're focusing on in our classes and if we're doing that equitably.
Mm. Perfect. That's exactly my question, Heather. Thank you much.
All right. If there's no more questions, I will look for that motion to purchase the school status at $12,000 a year for 3 years.
So moved.
Second.
I got a first and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Ayes have it. Motion passed. All right. Now we get to move on to Mr. Small. Those of you that may not know him, he is the president of the Arkansas Arts Academy Foundation, which is a fundraising arm of a 501c that raises money to help us purchase what's needed or provide services or whatever to the schools. So Garrett and I met week before last, I think it was, and had a pretty good discussion along with Richard. And I thought maybe it was a good idea to have Garrett come and meet the rest of the board, because the foundation has been around for several years, but as a board, we've never really worked with them. They've done their thing, we've done our thing, and I thought it was good for maybe us to bring it together here and have Mr. Small just kind of explain what's going on. So with that, Garrett, I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. And a pleasure to see everyone in the 2D world we live in now. So appreciate seeing you all here. As Tony said, we are a public foundation or a public charity, which means we are a 501c3 recognized by the IRS, which allows for huge donations and tax write-offs and deductibles from the community. So a public means that we receive our funding either in grants from charities, other charities, or from private or public donors. And that is how we fund 100% of what we do. We are governed by a board of directors, and that is part of the legal documents we had in order to become a public charity. And we actually have a mission statement and other stuff that we do. So we are here to support the Arkansas Arts Academy Foundation and enhance the quality of education and educational opportunities by generating and distributing financial and other resources for the benefits of our students. And we specifically work with the CEO, Richard, and with the two principals, Heather and Matt, in order to do that. And the three of those I just mentioned are also ex officio board of director members in order to help succeed in that mission. So we've raised a couple hundred grand over the past few years and started by helping with one-to-one technology for our students. And we're moving on to bigger things. So as we helped with the high school, and that was previous before I was there that Mary did that, we're moving on to other big potentials where we can support the board to help do that mission of enhancing for our students and for our teachers. We've had a few board of directors that, by the way, students have graduated. So Also, I'm going to give a shameless plug for anybody interested. I would love to hear from people to help join us, specifically as we move out of this COVID, hopefully sooner rather than later, and we start moving forward with our missions, which we will redefine as we start meeting more often, Heather and Matt and Richard, going forward. Richard, anything you'd like to add, sir?
Well, yes, I, being bold and only my first conversation with Garrett on a Zoom meeting with Tony, I asked if he would join with me and others that are still to be identified in creating an advancement committee who works specifically on moving the agenda of the Arkansas Arts Academy forward in terms of fundraising and development. And so it's really just to bring the foundation and the academy together in a committee of interested personnel so that we can create success on both sides. And if you're still amenable, Garrett, he said yes. And so there are others to include in that particular effort from a community point of view. But I think it's a good, smart move to bring the foundation and the academy together through a committee process so that we can get on with doing our good work.
Excellent.
Anybody have any questions or comments for Garrett? I would just want to say the meeting we had, the three of us, was really informative for me. And just hearing some of the little brainstorming things that we did in that short meeting was real exciting, because there's so many things that Richard has thought of, Garrett has thought of, that we could just really move forward with if we can come up with the money. You know, that's the thing. And that's why we have, this foundation to help us do that. So does anybody have any questions for Garrett?
Hey, Garrett, why don't you tell them what you do?
So surprise, surprise, I work for Walmart, and I'm currently in charge of buying PPE for the corporation. I started out moonlighting as that, but they kind of made that my full-time job after a month of never leaving this office that you guys see behind me.
Garrett, thank you for all you guys are doing to raise money. It's a big deal.
Thanks, Leslie. Appreciate that.
You bet.
All right. Garrett, go ahead.
Sorry. Just quickly, thank you. It's nice to meet you, Garrett, this way via Zoom. And I would just be interested to see or hear more at some point about the strategy and the priorities, if there's a fundraising campaign or sort of what's in the works for that. I'm just interested to know what the strategic plan is. So that's my
question. Absolutely.
Yep. I think once we got to get through this COVID thing and then we can kind of refocus, I think is kind of the plan for now. It's kind of hard to do a lot of fundraising at this moment, I think. But thank you for coming, Garrett. We appreciate it. Appreciate everything you do for the school. And we will all be seeing you again soon, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to echo kind of what you said, Tony, because of the times, because of what's going on, I know specifically working for Walmart where we're putting our donation dollars and what that is. So I have officially put a hold on anything from a big go-get perspective until we can kind of settle this environment and deal with the hunger and the pain and the issues we're having with the COVID right now throughout our country.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. You have a great evening. We appreciate you coming by and seeing us.
Yeah. Thanks again for having me.
Thank you. All right. We are now moving on. Any discussion of items since publication of the agenda? Where'd Richard? There's Richard. I lost you. You moved around on my screen.
I don't think we have anything else to add here.
All right. I do know we need to go into a quick executive session.
Yeah. So I'm going to, because I'm the host for that, I'm going to go open that, but I'm going to ask Victor Craig. Are you still there, Victor?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Okay. To stay online with the board members until I open up the executive session.
Sure.
As they say in the world of things, so I don't screw it up. So I'm going to leave now and go try and open that up, and let's just make sure we can make that happen. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Someone's at home practicing.
Yeah.
I can hear. Gosh, I'm so sorry. I forgot I'm not on mute. Oops. Okay. I'm sorry. Jacket is definitely practicing.
No, it's great.
If you say so.
Are we actually going to leave this one and go to the other one?
Leave this one.
Okay. You should have a link that I sent to everyone.
Yep. So are we ready to leave? I guess so. So we're going to leave this one.
Give it a try.
All right.
Howard, you and Leslie have the link?
That's what I'm looking for.
I'll forward it to you just a moment. Okay.
Victor, did you say you're sending it to me again? I'm trying to find it in my phone because I'm looking at you on my computer. I don't have my email set up on my computer. Got it. Here we go. See you in a sec.
See you over there.
Okay, there we go.
I always get anxious when I have to switch between these windows.
You're back.
And we're back.
Looks like we're waiting for Richard and Tony.
I don't think Richard was coming back. I think we're just waiting on Tony.
Everything go all right on the executive session Zoom? Did everyone get on? All right?
Yeah.
Good deal.
Leslie says that she's in the waiting room.
I don't think she's in the waiting room for this meeting.
Oh, interesting. She just texted me and said, she says she's waiting on the host.
I think she clicked on the wrong thing.
She might have clicked on the executive link again.
Yeah.
No, I'm still on the call already.
Of all these meeting softwares that I use, this one seems to be the more troublesome for me. I can switch in and out of Skype or Teams meetings with no problem at all, but every time I go into a Zoom session or Google, it seems like I have to reset all my hardware from a speaker and microphone standpoint. I will be glad when I can get back into a meeting in front of people rather than talking to them on a screen now. It's much harder to read body language from your basement.
Yeah, that's for sure. Which is good, because I'm not good at hiding body language. So you'd be able to read me like a book. You guys would all know. Okay, Jeff's ticked about something.
Hey, Slowpoke.
There he is.
All right, sorry about that. I was having difficulties. All right. I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All right. We got a first, second. All those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. All right. Motion passed. Have it. Thank you. Everybody have a great and safe holiday. See you after the first of the year. And have a great rest of your evening. All right?
That's good. You too.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.